It's 7:44 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A conversation this morning with a lawyer representing families who've lost loved ones at a VA hospital in Clarksburg.
We have whistleblowers that are contacting us. We have investigative reporters who are providing information, which has been very, very helpful. We do not have the ability to do formal discovery at this point because we don't have subpoena power.
That conversation in just a bit. This is West Virginia Morning. Coal executive Bob Murray clashed Monday with federal energy regulators at a Lexington Energy Forum. Sydney Bowles reports the conflict came as industry specialists gathered to debate the future of America's electric grid.
Speaking to a crowd of government officials and industry representatives, Murray criticized the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission for failing to support the struggling coal industry.
The word that I've been using to describe FERC, feckless. Feckless.
Murray is upset about a 2018 decision by FERC to reject a Trump administration proposal that would have subsidized coal-fired power plants to help them be competitive with cheaper fuels. FERC Chairman Neil Chatterjee said he invited Murray to speak because he valued the frank exchange of ideas.
And so he was obviously sharply critical of the commission and the decision we made. And that's precisely what I was hoping to achieve by inviting him here to start the dialogue.
FERC and the University of Kentucky's Center for Applied Energy Research hosted the event. Chatterjee said he wanted a frank discussion away from Washington politics. Bob Murray's company has also been in the news lately for mounting financial problems, and industry observers anticipate a bankruptcy announcement soon. Murray Energy, based in Ohio, is the country's largest underground mine company with about 6,000 employees. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Sydney Bowles in Lexington, Kentucky.
Striking General Motors employees in Kentucky, Tennessee, and West Virginia are staying on the picket lines this week until voting is complete on a new labor contract with the automaker. UAW leaders have recommended that rank-and-file members approve the proposed contract. But as Lisa Autry of member station WKYU reports, manufacturing lines won't be up and running for at least another week.
GM is giving union members until this Friday to ratify the proposed four-year contract. Until that happens, workers will remain on the picket lines. Lynn Nelson is vice president of UAW Local 2164 in Bowling Green, which is home to the Corvette assembly plant. He says when the strike began on September 16th, the factory was in the process of adding a second shift by the end of the year to produce the next generation car.
I assume that's going to throw the schedules off. So we'll have to see where we're at when we get back to work. These things take time. We don't just shut things off and turn them back on. So there'll be some issues probably as we try to start up.
The tentative contract includes better pay for full-time employees and more security for temporary workers, but proceeds with factory closures in Lordstown, Ohio, Warren, Michigan, and Baltimore, Maryland. In Bowling Green, I'm Lisa Autry.
A group of state leaders is working on a plan to address substance use in West Virginia. The group is traveling to the state to share what they've come up with, and they want public input. Emily Allen reports.
The West Virginia Substance Use Response Plan consists of six areas for improvement to be implemented over 3 years. The plan is supposed to be complete and effective by the 1st of January. Right now, state leaders who worked on the plan are sharing a draft of their ideas. They're asking members of the public to review what the state has come up with and prioritize which issues need to be addressed first. Brian Gallagher chairs the Governor's Council on Substance Abuse Prevention and Treatment.
We want to get this right. If we do this wrong, we run the risk of putting a lot of money and training and time into resources that aren't, or into solutions that aren't real solutions, that aren't evidence-based.
The document mentions prevention and treatment, but it also pays attention to places where substance use disorder is most on display, like the legal system and communities lacking opportunities for employment. And the plan calls for ways communities and their leaders can facilitate more longer-lasting recoveries for residents who are recovering from addiction. Gallagher and others who have worked on the plan will be in Wheeling and Fairmont later this week. They're accepting feedback until Friday, October 25th. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. areas of fog this morning, becoming sunny and breezy today. High temperatures in the 60s. Tonight, clear with lows in the 30s and 40s. And tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs in the 60s and low 70s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Jaeger Airport CRW, West Virginia's gateway to the world. More at JaegerAirport.com. WV511 is reporting a vehicle accident in Monongalia County on eastbound I-68, mile marker 10 near Morgantown. Last week, the family of a Navy veteran, John Hallman, filed a notice of a wrongful death suit against the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Hallman's death is being investigated as one in a string of suspicious deaths at the Louis A. Johnson VA Medical Center in Clarksburg. Senior reporter Dave Mistich spoke with Tony Odell, the attorney representing Hallman's family and others in the case. Here's some of their conversation.
So, Mr. Odell, I'd like to start by having you go over the wrongful death filing that you've made on behalf of the family of John Hallman. He was an 87-year-old Navy veteran who died in June of 2018 at the Louis A. Johnson VA Medical Center in Clarksburg. What I'd like to have you do right now is walk us through what that claim says about his death and how that matches up with some of the other cases that are being looked at.
Well, first of all, Mr. Hallman was an individual that lived alone and was pretty healthy. He had gone in for a possible bowel obstruction and appeared to be doing better, nothing life-threatening. And then he was on floor 3A, which is the floor where all the deaths at the VA occurred. And he had a very sudden, medically unexplained hypoglycemic event, which is the hallmark of these cases. In the case that we filed for Mr. Hallman, we were able to get the medical records, and we were also able to determine that the person of interest was the person who was actually taking the glucose readings for Mr. Hallman.
And based on what I understand, that's sort of a new revelation in all this, that the person of interest in this case, as far as the person they're looking at that could become a suspect, was actually the person that was monitoring these glucose levels. Is that correct? Is this new?
That is correct. We've noticed it in some of the other medical records that we've reviewed for the other cases that we're looking at as well. This is the first case that we had filed the notice of claim where we actually knew that was the case, and that's why it's included in Mr. Hallman's claim form for the first time.
Right. And so let's walk back here just a second. It's my understanding that Mr. Hallman was cremated, correct?
Correct.
And so this claim is sort of looking at medical records only. You've got a few situations to where you can actually go back and confirm these injection sites, but in Mr. Hallman's case, you can't necessarily do that. Is that correct?
That's correct, but what we have here, we have a lot of system failures at the hospital that led to that. We have the hallmark of everything we need in this case. We've got the person, the veteran that's on 3A. We have the medically unexplained hypoglycemic event. We have the person of interest who was obviously in the room with him. And the fact that he doesn't have an autopsy is actually a failing on behalf of the medical center itself, because there are certain criteria, including a sudden change in medical condition or a medically unexplained condition, that requires the triggering of an autopsy, that also requires the triggering of something called a sentinel event, which should lead to a root cause analysis at the hospital real time to try to figure out how in the world this could have happened. And there's only a few things that's going to cause a medically unexplained hypoglycemic event, and one of them would be someone giving someone insulin unnecessarily.
Right, right. And so Mr. Hallman is just one, and his family is just one of the families who have approached you. The other one that we've known about is Felix McDermott, whose death was the first, or one of the first, to have been ruled a homicide. And of course, there's other attorneys representing other families who have lost loved ones in this case. What can you tell me about what these families have learned from the VA's Office of Inspector General, and how many more might be out there?
Well, first of all, they haven't learned anything from the Veteran Medical Center at all. Everything they've learned has been through the OIG, the U.S. Attorney, and the FBI. And basically, they don't know any more than what we know, and we are the ones at this point providing most of the information, new information, to the families.
I guess if you would just sort of walk me through how, you know, how some of that information might be discovered.
Well, first of all, we have whistleblowers that are contacting us. We have people that have worked there, people that still work there. We have investigative reporters who are providing information, which has been very, very helpful. We do not have the ability to do formal discovery at this point because we don't have subpoena power, because we aren't allowed to file a lawsuit for 6 months. So we are just talking to witnesses as much as we can. It's been very helpful to have the press doing as much as they have on this, because it's amazing how much information has become available because of this being publicized, and we appreciate you keeping it in the public eye as well.
Right, right. And thank you for what you've been able to provide to us. I guess, you know, with what you just said there, it draws, you know, sort of a final question here. You know, of course, you're working on the civil side of this. And of course, you know, there's a criminal investigation being led by William Powell, who's the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of West Virginia. I should say that his office has declined to comment. They say they want to protect the integrity of this investigation. But I guess my question is, do you feel like this investigation is stretching on unnecessarily, if it's taking too long in your eyes? And how confident are you that the person responsible for these deaths will be brought to justice?
Well, first of all, we have two separate investigations going on. We have an investigation into the criminal side, and we feel like, you know, Bill Powell needs to do what he needs to do to make sure that he can secure a conviction. So as long as it takes for him to be able to do that, that's as long as it needs to take. And so no one faults anyone with that. And we are very confident that he and the FBI and the OIG will bring the person or persons, you know, the person of interest to justice. As far as the investigation that goes into the hospital side, we do believe that's drudging on, because everyone knows what the system failures were at that hospital that allowed this to go on for as long as it did. And quite frankly, I don't think anyone knows how many deaths this person may have caused. They, you know, there's some of them that are documented pretty well, but there will be some that aren't documented as well. But no one will ever know for sure how many deaths this person caused.
All right. Well, Mr. Tony O'Dell, he's an attorney in Charleston representing some of the families of victims at the VA hospital in Clarksburg. Mr. O'Dell, I really appreciate your time.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for having me.
That was Charleston attorney Tony O'Dell speaking with senior reporter Dave Mistich. O'Dell is representing the family of veteran John Hallman, whose death is one of many at the Clarksburg VA Medical Center being investigated. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.